Welcome to Microbyte. I'm Gavin Clark, software editor for The Register.
And I'm Mary Jo Foley, editor of the All About Microsoft blog.
And today's show, we've got a couple of hot topic items from Microsoft. They've made a lot of news recently. The Microsoft Mobile, if not now, is that ever going to happen? Microsoft's getting into retail, competing against the Apple iOS Store, or not, maybe. And interesting, there was some interesting news in servers and virtualization with a tie-up with Red Hat, and made us wonder, maybe this is the deal Novell should have done with Microsoft about 2 or 3 years ago, instead of getting themselves all hung up on patent protection clauses. So, MJ, Microsoft Mobile, not now, not ever. What do you think about that? A lot of people have got themselves in a tizzy over this one, haven't they, in reporting the imminent arrival of a Microsoft iPhone-like device.
Yes, they have. And I think, you know, Microsoft has really contributed to the confusion here, because as we saw at the Barcelona Mobile World Conference show, here we go again with Microsoft trying to do some rebranding. And one of the things they're trying to rebrand is the whole mobile phones running Windows Mobile arena. You know, that is a mouthful, as Steve Ballmer said in Barcelona. He said, wow, it's a mouthful to say mobile phones running Windows Mobile. So let's just call it the Windows Phone. And I think that's a great idea. And I think that also is what got a lot of people all disconcerted, saying, wow, Microsoft's going to make their own phone. Mm. At the same time, you have Microsoft working closer with the cell phone makers, you know, people like LG and others, to actually help them with some reference designs and some chassis design. And again, you know, people read a headline saying Microsoft suddenly taking shipments of chips. That means they're making a phone. And again, it's like, well, maybe, but maybe not.
I think there's a great pressure. People get a fragment of a piece of information, and because of the news cycles, they have to build that up into a story. So to kind of your point, yeah, people have heard that Microsoft's taking shipments of chips, therefore a mobile phone must be coming. And I think there's also a mixture here of wishful thinking. You know, Microsoft is competes with Apple. Apple has an iPhone, therefore Microsoft must be coming out with its own phone too. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff going on too.
Definitely. And then another factor I think that contributed to this whole hype cycle was Microsoft recently had a reorg at the company as part of their layoffs that they announced in January. Mm-hmm. And one of the pieces that is just starting to trickle out now from that reorg is the Zune team has basically been split in two. And everybody who was assigned to Zune hardware has now been reassigned to the Windows Mobile team. Mm-hmm. So again, people make this leap and they're like, oh, if they're putting the hardware engineers on mobile, that means they're making their own phone. And again, Microsoft is denying it vehemently and saying, no, we're not going to make a phone. But interestingly, Gavin, they're not saying never.
Yeah.
They're saying we aren't going to make a phone in the near term. And we're going to rely on our partners to make the phones in the near term. But they're not saying anything about forever. You know, and I actually wouldn't be surprised to see them come out with a Microsoft-branded phone in 2 or 3 years.
But this is to the point we were kind of talking about a little while ago, where we're saying this is like a shareholder meeting. You never say never. If Microsoft said we're never going to do, or if they said we're going to do a mobile phone in 2 years' time, and that phone didn't appear, then it would be hoisted by its own petard almost. People would say, hang on, 2 years ago you said you were doing a phone, the phone is late. Oh my God, Microsoft's late with yet another product. So I feel they're very wary of committing to anything. They'll never rule anything out, but they're not ruling anything in either. So I think they're very cagey in the way they say things. And we all know how short-term the company's corporate management is in terms of memory, because they're always moving people around so much that I think projects often, they can't commit long-term to kind of some things because they move people around so much. And then because that movement projects live or die by that amount of corporate executive reshuffling.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you know, in the mobile space, they've really been kind of casting around for a direction as much as we can tell. You know, there's this whole new release that they talked about in Barcelona called Windows Mobile 6.5 that just a year ago wasn't even on the schedule. It was nowhere. It just kind of materialized out of nothing because they realized they were falling way behind the iPhone and they really needed to catch up fast, and they weren't going to be able to get Windows Mobile 7 out in a timely manner. So I think pretty much even more than in Windows client operating systems, the mobile space is just happening so quickly. And Microsoft's culture is just not one where they come out with rapid fire operating system releases that they're really struggling in the mobile sector to try to figure out how to get things out more quickly and to get them out to cell phone vendors in a way that they can get them on their phones quicker, because traditionally they've done like a mobile release every 2 years, and it takes months for the mobile vendors to actually get them on their phones.
But where's Microsoft gone wrong on this? I mean, you know, the mobile market is not new. Microsoft went into mobile years ago, again, in the PDA market against Palm, and it kind of managed to kind of knock Palm into, I think, to second place position there. It's very focused. But Microsoft's attitude to mobile is like the market is new and it's never heard of it before. It seems like Windows Mobile has always been, you know, the ginger-headed child of the family, the kind of kid no one wants to talk about.
I like that, ginger-headed kid. you know, one thing that has been the case with them is they've always considered Windows Mobile a business operating system. And I think when Apple came out of kind of left field and caught them off guard, and they positioned the iPhone as an operating system that could be both for consumers and businesses, it made Microsoft kind of sit up and take notice and say, uh-oh, we're kind of mispositioned here. Because that, again, is another message you're hearing out of them increasingly that you didn't used to hear in the past, that we realize people want to use their phone for have one phone and use it for consumer and business purposes. You just never really heard them talk about Windows Mobile as a consumer phone operating system. And so I think that's been one major change that has really shaken things up there. And if you look in the past year or so, they've really cleaned house on the mobile side. They've gotten a bunch of people to resign and or booted them. We don't really know. A lot of people who've been in the mobile sector for Microsoft for years are gone now. And they brought in a new regime with some new faces like Andy Lees, who came over from Windows Server, actually, to kind of lead the mobile business now. So they're trying a lot of different things. They're trying to get more agile. They're trying to come out with releases that do things like touch, which is something they never really seemed to care about until Apple did it. So you're seeing a lot of different things being tried there. They're even adding like a software plus services message now to Windows Mobile. They've been talking about a new service that was codenamed Skybox. The official name is My Phone, that they have launched into a invite-only beta. And that service is going to let you back up your contacts and your phone numbers and your data to a website so that if you switch phones or lose phones, you'll be able to just kind of interact with that data and pull it back down to a new phone more easily. It's a nice idea, you know?
It's a nice idea, but we have to ask, where has Microsoft's management focus been to let the situation get to where it is now? I mean, Andy Lees, yeah, he was on the server, but he's a server guy. He's not mobile. Yeah. He might have the ability to operate, but does he have the vision? And Steve-O, about a year or so back, he said he called the iPhone a $500 subsidized item that had no chance of gaining significant market share. And yet, a year, you know, 2 years or a year later, you know, he's been proved wrong. The iPhone's gaining market share. That surely raises yet another question about, you know, the strategic vision of the company if they're kind of dropping these kind of like issues, or they're not picking up on these kind of like nuances and trends in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I totally agree. I used to look at the mobile business when I looked across Microsoft at all the different businesses and said, what are they doing there? Like, is anybody home? Is anybody like looking at the direction they're taking? They just are staying the course. And with the way the market's changing, staying the course isn't the right course. Mm. And I was just stunned every year when we went to the financial analyst meeting, you know, they do the exact same dog and pony show with mobile every year. And it was like, wow, mobile should be like one of the most exciting things going on at this company. And instead, it's like an afterthought. And they showed a few new phones and said, isn't this great? And yeah, we're going to have something for this in another year. It just was like every year that was the same message. And finally, it feels like they've figured out they need to catch up. But the question is, are they too late?
I think that you never say anyone's too late. And, you know, anyone will admit Microsoft can catch up. But I think they're spread across so many fronts these days. It's not like mobile is the only thing they need to catch up on. And I think one of the big things that came out of the recent Barcelona Mobile Congress was the Microsoft App Store. Now, that, as you know, they've got a lot of mobile apps partners already. But, you know, first of all, you have to get those apps onto the App Store, maybe, or maybe not. Maybe you just get a completely new branch of people, which is a challenge in itself. But then you have to get those consumer-y applications up there that's made the iPhone so successful. And again, and how does Microsoft reach out to those people? It's not clear. It's a lot. There's a lot. You know, they've opened the storefront, but so far the shop seems pretty empty, and it looks like it's going to be empty for a while to come.
Yeah, they're saying I think they're calling it the Windows Marketplace for Mobile or something. Again, the branding is just kind of mind-boggling. But what they're saying is that store is going to really kind of come online when Windows Mobile 6.5 is available on new phones, which is going to be around September or October of this year. So they've got some time to try to get people on board with that. You know, what I think they should really try to do and capitalize on is the whole differentiation between what Apple's doing as far as keeping certain vendors out of the App Store and kind of having a very controlling role in their own App Store versus Microsoft actually being, quote, open. I mean, it's very ironic that Microsoft might be the open vendor here. But if I were them, that's what I would really be playing up is, you know, we actually are letting Flash be on our phones, and Apple so far is not letting that happen. It would be a real role reversal kind of thing with Microsoft, but I think it could be really a selling point for them if they end up doing it right.
I think so, yeah. I think we'll all be looking forward to that 6.5 version of mobile, which is supposed to be the touch screen, although one of our guys, Bill Ray, was at Barcelona, and he said it's touched to an extent. After a while, you've got to start poking with your fingernails. It's no iPhone alternative.
Yeah, I mean, it is very limited touch from what I've read and heard as well, and it's kind of like their first stab into a touch phone. They're still saying Windows Mobile 7 is where gesture recognition and true touch comes to the Windows Mobile phone. But that release of Windows Mobile is supposedly not going to be out, last I heard, till like April 2010 on new phones.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's out there.
I mean, this is the tech company that's supposed to be saying, current by 2010, things will have moved on again. And based on their past experience, Microsoft's not good track record in innovating as far as mobile goes.
Yep, really.
I wonder whether we'll see even Andy Leisby in his position where he is now by 2010 either, given the way the company reorgs.
Well, you know, the other piece of this mobile equation that we still haven't really not heard that much about, and it came out on an analyst call that I was listening to from Barcelona, was what is Microsoft doing with Danger? Remember, they bought Danger in the beginning of 2008. They said they were going to work on all these premium consumer services for mobile. Okay, so where are they? I mean, is that what Skybox and this other service they didn't even talk about called Skyline, which is basically a managed email service for small businesses, is that what is coming from that division? Or is there a bunch of stuff that's coming that we haven't heard about? We don't really know. And Microsoft keeps getting asked about the Danger acquisition, and they said, we're not ready to talk.
I don't trust that, because it's like the Windows Vista, was it the bonus services you're supposed to get with Windows Vista Ultimate, where they never materialized. The company's great at planting stakes or flags in the ground, but you know it doesn't have the attention span or the resources to actually develop these promised services internally. It doesn't seem then the market follows them either.
Yeah, good point.
So I know also there was some interesting news recently about the Microsoft retail store, wasn't there?
There was. that's another one of those where, okay, they didn't actually say never, I guess. But I was really, really surprised when they announced that they're going to have a family of Microsoft retail stores. They aren't announcing timing or the locations or what kind of form they're going to take. But I was really caught by surprise. And partially I was caught by surprise because doesn't Microsoft supposedly sell through partners? And what does this mean to Dell and HP and all the people who sell PCs running Windows, as well as the mobile phone vendors? You know, does it mean Microsoft's going to come in and try to get a cut? Also, Microsoft's done a retail store once. Okay, granted, it was way back in 2001, and it was only one store in San Francisco. But it was not a success, to put it bluntly. And it's going to be interesting to see if they can really kind of come at this where Apple's got all the mind share and the buzz and do something that's different and that actually makes people want to buy Windows PCs.
Well, I thought it was interesting, the timing of the news. Now, they appointed, who is this guy? David Porter, who's a 25-year Walmart veteran. That news went out on all Friday afternoon. Was it a Friday afternoon or Thursday afternoon?
I think it was Thursday. Yeah, but it was very late.
Of a President's Day weekend. It wasn't, and the guy was starting, that was the first thing. And the second thing was the guy was starting the following Monday. That smacks of very last-minuteism to me.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole way they announced it was very odd. I mean, they put out a press release announcing they had hired a new corporate VP, and in the deck of the press release, the second line, it says, "And we're going to have a line of retail stores." Mm. It was kind of like, instead of announcing Microsoft gets into retail, it was like, here's the guy, and his job is going to be to figure out retail, which is kind of a backwards way to go about a big announcement like a retail store. Yeah. But you know what's been interesting since the day of that announcement. If you watch the comments that Microsoft's been making in different venues since that time, they've been talking about the stores a little bit more as almost like demo centers, as opposed to pure retail stores. It's like, this is where we're going to show customers how they can connect the PC and the TV and car and have the connected experience that we always talk about. So. My new thought is maybe these aren't going to be pure retail stores. I mean, they might still sell, or they might refer you to some kind of online vendor or partner or something. But they almost sound more like a showcase than a typical store.
Well, that's interesting, because I noticed around San Francisco in empty retail spaces, these little Windows Vistas like shops started opening up, and there was lots of flags and balloons outside, and people wearing Microsoft polo shirts, and they basically got you in to try out the multimedia features of Windows Vista. You know, how to create images, how to print them off, that kind of stuff. And often the store would last a couple of days or a week or so, and it was gone, and the retail space was empty once more.
Oh, wow.
So it seemed like they were kind of trialing this kind of like, you know, touch and feel conceptual idea rather than, and I can see that might be a way of going for them. But it makes you still ask, why have they brought in David Porter, who's like a big box Walmart veteran, to do this kind of like very targeted, you know, release? It seems more like, you know, Kevin Turner has brought in one of his old Walmart buddies and on the promise of he can do it, and there's a lot of details to be filled out. Maybe more of what I'm saying is more of a corporate power play rather than an actual idea that's been thought through to its end concept.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny this whole thing happened when it happened, like you're saying, because, well, number one, we're in a recession. Mm. And, you know, a lot of retailers, especially here in New York, where I'm based, are going belly up. I mean, it's amazing. Every day I go down Fifth Avenue and I'm like, wow, that store's gone now. You know, here in New York, I actually just wrote a blog post about this recently. There really is nowhere to go look at new PCs, you know, like, when you live in the suburbs, you can go to a mall, right? And you can go to like a computer center like Fry's or something like that. But in Midtown Manhattan, there is nowhere to go look at Windows PCs, which is incredible, right? Mm-hmm, yeah. I mean, it's like you can go to a Staples, an Office Depot, a Best Buy, but half of the time, the people you're talking to there, they don't even know how anything works, you know? Yeah. I'm always stunned when I go in Best Buy and I hear the sales guys there like talking to people about Windows 7. And just recently this happened. I heard somebody saying to a customer, "Oh, Windows 7, that's like years away." Yeah. And I was thinking, they need people in these stores who actually, number one, know, actually do understand and know like what Microsoft's roadmap is and how the products work. I mean, so there's a real need for this, but is it the right time to launch a retail store? And is Microsoft the right company to do it? Or, like you're saying, is it just, you know, more Walmart people coming in to work with Kevin Turner, who came from Walmart to Microsoft? I don't know.
Yeah, there's two scores. I think Kevin Turner is definitely trying to consolidate his position inside the company. It's just fascinating. But to the point, I mean, if Microsoft wants to kind of challenge Apple, but be considered, you know, as reputable or on the high street as Apple, it's got to get some good staff in there with technical knowledge who can provide good answers. That, I mean, the good thing about the Apple Store is if you've got a tech support question, you walk in, they can help you. My experience, as you say, if you walk into a Best Buy or even a CompUSA, and you're lucky if you can find a salesperson or like an employee to actually help you, somebody who isn't huddled around for the rest of his mates wearing his Saturday day job shirt, or then actually get somebody who can bother enough to actually help you or know anything about the product stuff. And so yeah. Microsoft's going to have to invest in the people, the culture, rather than actually, as well as the space, and think about what they're actually going to be offering in these stores if they want to do, as Bobby Buck was saying, to focus on the connecting customers with the Windows and with building the brand presence. I also had a sort of connected thought. I wonder how much of this has actually come out of the Windows Vista advertising campaign, which is all based around touchy-feely stuff. Yeah. Microsoft suddenly has bought into this whole concept of we must make people love Windows as much as we do. And I wonder if these so-called retail stores are an extension of that.
Yeah, that's a really good thought. You know, when they did the advertising campaign around Vista, one of the things that didn't get a lot of play, it got a little bit, was this whole idea that they were hiring this team of Windows gurus and putting them in places like Best Buy and Circuit City. And it was only a small number of people to start, like a couple hundred. But, you know, it's funny. When I talk to people out there in the community, like MVPs and bloggers, and there actually are Windows enthusiasts out there, people, believe it or not, Windows fanboys. if Microsoft could hire some of these people, they are their biggest cheerleaders, and they actually know how to use the products. They're like great at giving demos. I've gotten some of the best demos of Vista and other products from those guys, and not from, you know, Microsoft employees and trade show booths. Yeah. You know, these are the people who are out there actually like setting up their family's PCs, and they know how all these tricks and things work, and they know all these products that Microsoft really hasn't been pushing because they're from third parties. I think if they could get some of these guys and like make them the equivalent of the Genius Bar staff, you know, I think they really could maybe make a go of it. But, you know, there's so many ifs there, if this could happen and if that could happen. So we'll see what those stores look like. I mean, I'm going to try to keep an open mind, because I want a place to go buy my Windows 7 netbook later this year when it's out.
Yeah, good luck with that. Yeah, I wonder, again, back to David Porter, is he the man to know that he needs to hire bloggers? You know, again, the history, the experience suggests not. He's an operations man. He can run big box Walmart stores.
Yeah, good point. I know. Yeah, they need somebody who can kind of harness all the kind of buzzy word of mouth kind of stuff. And I don't know if he's the guy. I mean, I'm willing to see. Maybe he's the guy. And, you know, just like any high level elected official, if you surround yourself with people who know, you could look smart, right?
Yeah. So I know something else that was interesting, you wrote about this recently, MJ, was the Microsoft Red Hat deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I that's another one that kind of caught me off guard. So basically what it is, if you really kind of get down to the nuts and bolts, is Microsoft and Red Hat are both agreeing that they will allow their respective server operating systems to run on each other's hypervisors, and they'll certify that will actually work and that they'll support customers who are trying to do that. So that's good. It's all goodness for customers who want to have, you know, Red Hat Enterprise Linux operate alongside Windows Server. That's great. But, you know, the whole deal itself brought up a lot of interesting concerns and qualms among people, and especially in the open source community, who remember that fateful Microsoft Novell Pact from a couple years ago, where there was also an exchange of certification promises, but a lot more that went along with that people weren't too happy about. So when I looked up the terms of the Microsoft and Red Hat deal, it turns out there is no patent exchange or patent agreement between the two, which I think will go a long way in calming people who are worried about Red Hat caving and agreeing with Microsoft that it might possibly infringe on some of its patents.
Right. I think it's interesting that this is almost the deal Novell should have done. It seems like Novell caved early in order to just advance his own business.
Yeah. Well, I think you probably remember around the time that agreement was struck, Novell was in pretty bad financial shape. I think they were pretty much trying to find a way to keep the company going at that point. And Microsoft, I'm sure, was offering, "Hey, we'll sell your certificates for you to our customers if you agree to this, and this." And Novell management at the time didn't want it known that one of the things they were agreeing to was a patent protection clause, but it came out and created a huge furor, as people remember and never cease to point out whenever anything comes up about
Indeed.
Microsoft and
I think
patents.
it's an interesting comment on the part of Red Hat, though, that, well, let's put it this way, that from what I've heard, what I've been reading is that both companies were forced into this agreement. Microsoft and Red Hat were forced into this by their customers, because there's so much of Windows, there's so much Red Hat in their respective data centers, that the companies individually didn't want to actually, or would have not want, would prefer not to have done this kind of deal. And I think you can see a lot of that, because again, the announcement around this, it was very factual based. There wasn't the fanfare of the Novell agreement. The CEOs weren't brought out. It was a very kind of almost like, it's a kind of business as usual, very business like announcement, I thought.
Yeah, it was funny. I was joking with somebody from Microsoft when the announcement came out, and I said, "Wow, you're really lucky Steve Ballmer's all taken up with mobile this week in Barcelona, so you can't bust in and make some patent comments and call Red Hat the devil." Because that's basically what happened if you remember the Novell deal. They were up on stage saying how great this deal was going to be for customers, and then Ballmer just went on this tirade, basically saying, and luckily, Novell's agreeing that, they're infringing on our patents. And the Novell management was like, "What? Like, where is this coming from?" And like, we didn't agree that he was going to get up on stage and say this.
Well,
So
I know
I think it
that.
was lucky.
Yeah, I mean, also, I think when that Novell announcement came out, Red Hat, oh, sorry, Microsoft made it very clear that it was still hanging. I was gunning for that Red Hat announcement too. It wanted to bring Red Hat into the camp too. So it was, I think, even though Novell was the announcement then, or was the prize then, Red Hat was the big prize that it wanted to get, and now it's got that, but possibly not in the way that it wanted, without getting those patent protection or those indemnification clauses thrown in.
Yeah, I think it's great Red Hat stuck to their guns and didn't go for the patent protection stuff because Microsoft did want them. They were like the big fish they wanted to hang on the wall and say, "See, we got everybody now," and Red Hat kept saying, "We're not going to agree to that. We're not going to." And I'm glad to see they didn't cave. So I'm really upbeat about that. On a separate note, I think another thing that's just start people are just starting to think through now is how much of this deal with Red Hat and Microsoft was actually spurred by their mutual desire to compete with VMware. I think that's a really interesting point. Nobody has said the word VMware in any of the announcements, either on the Microsoft side or the Red Hat side. But when you think it through, you're like, yeah, maybe they're joining, frenemies joining forces to compete with the big guy. Hard to say again, and how much do customers really care about all these, corporate intrigue, Microsoft versus VMware versus Red Hat versus just make all my problems go away. I just want it to work.
Well, I thought it was interesting that this agreement doesn't cover their existing Xen implementation of their kernel. It covers the KVM kernel, which is newer. So it says to me, Red Hat still doesn't trust Microsoft, and that they're still kind of protecting their existing customer base against Windows coming in and running on their kernel.
Yeah. And can you blame them? I mean, sure, Microsoft's a much more interoperable, loving, kind of happy, let's make things good for our customers company these days. But I mean, it's still Microsoft, right? And their heritage is let's find a way to beat our competitors. I mean, they are very fierce competitors about Linux still. And they may not talk about Linux as much as they used to, but they still see Linux as, one of their enemies. And they will work with Linux vendors when they're trying to appease vocal customers who are having interoperability problems, but their goal is still, let's get everybody to run Windows Server.
Well, I think so, and I think, the second Red Hat opens up that legacy Xen customer base, you're going to have Microsoft sales reps going in there trying to get them off of Red Hat Linux and get them on using Windows.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, and plus another way to look at it too, and I'm sure this is the way Microsoft's positioning it, is the future of Red Hat is the KVM, you know, and it's not on Zen. So you could also give them the benefit of the doubt here a little bit and say they're also positioning for future, you know, what's going to be important in the future and what customers are going to want going forward, and not so focused on what customers already have. But I still think you're right that Red Hat's being a little bit cautious and you know, justifiably so. Microsoft has not been a friend to the Linux community until fairly recently, and even then, it's kind of more when it helps Microsoft than it is when it helps the Linux vendors, obviously.
Again, it's a kind of interesting question over the state of leadership at Microsoft. In that, okay, ideologically, it's pro Windows and against Linux, but for a very long time, the company's dragged its feet on interoperability with Linux. Whereas, you know, Sun, for example, gave up that kind of battle a long time ago and decided to embrace Linux, Windows, and Solaris on its server hardware.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the bottom line is always going to be when you're talking about Microsoft and open source, is Microsoft is a closed source company, and that's what they want to be. That's how they want to make their money. That's where their future is. They don't really make any bones about that. You know, they'll do deals with open source vendors and try to get them to port stuff over, you know, to Windows. But it's never Microsoft is going to be open sourcing the crown jewels. And you know, I don't fault them for that. That's their business model. So.
All of which leads us on to the Todd Bishop painted Steve Ballmer mood index, I believe.
Yes, and we always ask at the end of every show, what do you think Steve Ballmer is feeling these days? Is he feeling complacent, upbeat? Is he going monkey boy, or is he kind of down in the dumps? And try to gauge his mood a little bit. So, I don't know what I'd say this week, Gavin. What would you say? I think I can see a lot of different ways to go this week.
I think it's probably all business this week, wouldn't you say?
I think I would, just because of all the deals they're doing around the mobile space, and they're kind of in the midst of figuring out their strategy on some fronts where it's been a little bit murky. So I mean, they had some big wins. They had a really good win on the mobile front with LG. I don't know if you saw that deal, but they got LG to agree that Windows Mobile is going to be the primary operating system on, I think, like something like 50 phones coming out in the next 2 years, which is huge because LG makes phones worldwide. It's a really huge vendor, and right now Microsoft's biggest vendor really probably is HTC. So this is a big win for them. So I think Ballmer's probably feeling very businesslike, veering a little bit into not definitely not in monkey boy territory, but feeling pretty good about how things are shaping up, even though they got a little bit panned on their Windows Mobile pace of announcements, and they definitely got panned on the retail move.
So yeah, I think Steve certainly needs to be all business, based on the quantity of announcements and the level of announcements that came out of that Mobile Congress recently. To be honest, I don't think, to quote Casablanca, what they had didn't really amount to a hill of beans, at least as far as the services go. And all tensions can be on the next versions of Windows Mobile, and that's where Microsoft really needs to get its act together.
Yeah,
So.
I totally agree. Yep.
So that's
So,
why I think Steve is all business. It should be all business.
yeah, I hear, hear. I agree.
Should we wrap it up?
Yeah.
That about covers it this time, MJ. I'm Gavin Clark, Software to the Register.
and I'm Mary Jo Foley, editor of the All About Microsoft blog, and this has been Microbyte, brought to you by the people who bite the hands that feed IT.